Good morning. Happy Sunday. Sorry about the temperature in the Gompa. We're trying to get this resolved. I think we ran out of oil, and we don't know how to turn the fan off, so it's blowing. Let's say Yeshua will be here soon, and if you've never been here before, I think everybody's been here before, if you'll please stand out of respect for him and his teachings, and then we'll be saying some prayers in this white prayer book, the first base sheet. And you're welcome to go and get some hot drink in the cafe, some hot tea or whatever. Hopefully there's some hot water boiling out there, and then bring it in, maybe warming yourself up, hot water bottle or something. But it's always, you're always fine to bring drinks in here. If you have cell phones on, if you'll please turn off the mute them or put them, turn them off. And, since we'll be streaming and people will be, looking on the web and they want to know what's going on. If, Geshe-la asks questions, then and you want to, invite people to ask questions, then if you'll please wait for the microphone, because the people, no matter how loud you speak, you really can't, people can't hear you online, and they want to know what's going on. Geshe-la has reminded me to let you know that it is, very meritorious to walk around the stupa, and you do that clockwise, and then there's also prayer wheels on the other side of this wall. If you have questions for him, there's some slips of paper on the rack. I think it's right under Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe's photos over there, and you can just put it on his desk up here, and he'll try to answer the questions. Let's see. Oh, if you are new to the center, you'll see a stand and prostrate, and if you feel uncomfortable doing so, you don't have to do that. You can just remain standing. I remember when I first got here, I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't want to prostrate. And so don't feel uncomfortable. Just remain standing. You don't have to do anything. Okay. So Geshe-la will be repeating the same teaching in the second session, almost identically. And at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a guru puja, and that's why the altar setup is a little bit different right there. I don't know if you can even see it. So, okay. So if we can just sit here and try to get our minds ready to receive the teachings. So if we turn to the first base sheet in the white prayer book, we'll start with Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, then the four measurables in English, and then right below in Tibetan. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentient Bottom, you see two mantras. So let's chant Chenrik Sig's mantra 8 times and then Green Tower's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Good morning. Are you warming up? Huh? Yeah. Santa needs to buy now more blankets. It's been cold the last 2 days. Huh? It's been getting cold. Much better than Tibet. Much better than Tibet. So let's begin with some meditations. Okay, some meditation. If some of you are here first time, so probably I'm going to talk a little bit about meditations, a little bit, then we'll meditate, okay? So, for all of us, I think it's important to understand the purpose of meditations, okay? So all of us, you know, not just you, so all of us, it's very, very important to understand the purpose of meditation is to reduce negative mind. So that's very important. Gom top, gom meditation, top power. Listen is power. Gom top, nimong, afflicted mind. Chunga means less. So that's very important. So because afflicted mind is called in Tibetan, it's called nyumong. In Sanskrit, it's called klesha or nyumong. Nyumong, the very word, you know, the meaning of that word, nyumong, means the minute it arises, it makes you kind of like. It's kind of make you diluted, makes you kind of like unwell, minute it arises, no, new moon, minute it arises, it makes you unwell, oh, new moon. So, according to Buddhism, that is the source of all our sufferings. That's afflicted mind. That's something we can do. So that's very, very important. You know, very, all my friends here, it's very important. So you sacrifice your sleep, you came to center, hoping maybe you learn something. So then I feel responsible. Oh, to make sure I share something that I've been studied, you know, studied. So it's important. That's called internal enemy. Dhanana devi nimundus. So one of the Kadama masters says, okay, enemy is within yourself. What is that? That is afflicted mind or kalesha or nimong, randandri nimondul. So if you want to eliminate enemies, so you must recognize enemies not outside, it's within yourself. You know, it's like afflicted mind. So now with that, you know, understanding, then if you meditate, you know, so then more likely your meditation will become productive. Then productive rather than chicken meditation. I'm not saying that you are doing chicken meditations. I'm saying that's chicken meditations. So now, you know, in order to meditate, you know, so it's of course also is important for sake of knowledge. It's important to learn, you know, how to sit properly when you meditate. So the reason I'm saying this, you know, because Milarepa, so some of you may have heard, you know, about Milarepa. Milarepa is the Tibetan yogi, you know, one of the probably best practitioners that exists in Tibet, you know, one of the best, Milarepa. So his teacher said in his book, he says, there are so many people meditate in Tibet, so many of them meditate in Tibet, but none of them can compete the way I sit. So then I think it's important to learn, you know, sit properly. So the cushion that you are using, you know, what is it called here that you call meditation cushions? Actually, this is called concentration cushions, something in the concentration cushions. It'll be like this, you know. The back should be lifted up. That's the reason, you know. So if you're sitting there a long time, it is supposed to help you to prevent some kind of pain in your leg. That's why, you know, the back is lifted up. So that's called concentration cushion, something in the concentration cushions. So then also the room that you are doing, you know, concentration meditations, you can call that, you know, like meditation room, or maybe according to text you call that, you know, concentration house, something like that, concentration house. So now you have comfortable cushions and with the comfortable sitting positions. So any form of meditation that we do, so we should sit straight. The back should be straight. So like leg should be straight. So it begins with the leg. Okay, it begins with, there will be 7 sitting positions. Begin with the legs. Leg, there's 2 ways you can do. Full Vajra cross. Full Vajra cross means, you know, you see both of your heel on your lap. That's called full Vajra cross. That's quite a challenge unless you are doing yoga. So that's called full Vajra cross. Then there's like half Vajra cross. One leg in, one leg out, lift out. Doesn't matter which one, left, right, doesn't matter. But, you know, one leg in, one leg out. Just go half Vajra cross. Doji chirunji. Kangba. So then hand. So left hand below, right hand above. Then like this. Then you place this, you know. place on your lap. Some of the people hold like this, that's unnecessary. You just put it there. Maybe like four finger below your navel. It has also significant meaning. So there's two. Gangba, Lapa, there's no... The position of leg, the position of hand, Keba. So then, back is third, straight. This is all for sake of knowledge. If somebody comes to you, do you know meditations? At least you can teach them. No, so it's already been taught many, many thousands of years ago. Okay? Gangba, Lapa, Keba. So there's three, right? Leg, position of leg, hand positions, the back, go. So now head, little bit down. So then eye. Not too close, not too open, little bit open, go near. So then according to the text, it says, the eye should be look on the tip of the nose, but you don't have to make extra effort to see your nose. There's no point. Just look down, go mix it. So there's like four, five. Then six, shoulder. So then hands should be lip open, not all the way touch, lip open. So then tongue, teeth, lip. Count one, that's seven. Okay? So then, should be natural. The tip of the tongue should be touch upper palate. That will supposed to prevent you from getting thirsty, or maybe sometimes the precious juice comes out. So that also helps to prevent that. So that's called seven sitting positions. This is all for sake of knowledge, So you are here to hoping to learn something. So then this is all for sake of knowledge. So then this is called sitting position. That doesn't call meditation. This is just sitting position. If you see somebody sitting like that, it's not really meditation. That's sitting position. So then sometimes you see eight sitting positions. These are seven. Sometimes you see eight sitting positions. Eight, what is the eight number, last number? The last one is like breathing. Comfortable cushion, comfortable room, comfortable cushions, comfortable mind. That's how you do productive meditations. If your mind is not comfortable, then you do breathing meditations. Okay, you do breathing meditations to transform your mind from negative state to neutral state. So this is much, much easier to develop, transform neutral to positive, then rather from negative to positive. So that's the technique they use, the breathing meditations. Okay, breathing meditations. So this is called 7 point or 8 point sitting positions before you do meditations. So then I've been teaching these meditations, I think probably now many, many months. We've been doing this meditation at the center every morning before class. So this is the best part of the class because we are all doing something means we are doing meditations. So this meditation is called 9 round breathing meditations. Okay, 9 round breathing meditations. what we do, So we are sitting like this. So in this 9 round breathing meditations, you shouldn't worry about your hand. That's okay, First, we use our left hand. Left hand. Block left hand. Block your left nostril. Breathe from the right nostril, long, slow. Then, we'll do it again. Left hand, blow your left nostril, breathe from your right nostril, inhale, long, slow. then? That's one. So again, we'll do this three times. Huh? One more. One more. So this first round, each round 3-3. This first round, oh, should we do it again? Do it again or no? This first round, okay. Make sure that we learn, okay. So this first round. Now second round, right hand. Block the right nostril, inhale, long, slow. Then, the second round, now the six, 3-3-6. So now the third round, from the, not from the mouth, from both nostrils, begin with inhale, and begin with inhale, and with exhale, okay? Three times. So this is called 9-round breathing meditation. It's very simple to learn, so simple, very, very easy to learn. So, because, you know, your life, you know, so there's here some reasons always feels like there's no time. You know, there's not enough time, you know, so it's kind of like, for me it's kind of shocking, like when I was in the monastery, there's plenty of time. So when I came here, always feel like there's not enough time to finish, you know, something. So this is very good. It's like you can do this, you know, in a very short period of time. So you can do multiple times. You can just do this 9 rounds and stop, then do it again. So please let me explain this meditations. It's called Lung Roll Gu Chuk Cell. That's the name of meditations. 9-round breathing meditations. Sounds more complicated in Tibetan. Sometimes it sounds much easier in Tibetan, sounds more complicated in English. So this word sounds really more complicated in Tibetan. Lung literally means, you know, wind. Wind. So in this case, I think the closest translation is energy. That's the closest translation is energy. I don't know any other than that word. There's something that comes with thought. You cannot separate. There's something that comes with thought. Every thought, you know, comes with the lung. So then it probably could be energy. You know? Lung. Roll means wasted. Wasted. No. Wasted. Lung roll. Gu. 9. Took. Set. Cell means eliminate. So now the question arises, no, how, what is that wasted wind or wasted energy? How this energy been wasted? The wasted energy, wasted, like the imbalance, same synonym, imbalance energy, wasted energy, these are synonym, different way to say, but same meaning. Imbalance mind, because as I said, every thought, according to Vajrayana teaching, every thought, whether it's positive, neutral, negative, every thought comes with energy. Every thought rides on energy. That's what they say, you know, We can separate them. Every thought has energy. Every thought has energy. So now, what is the meaning of imbalance or waste energy? When the mind becomes imbalanced, then now we are talking not just one mind, we are talking about many, many mind and thought. Thought, imbalanced thought. That means, you know, how many thought that pops up in our mind every day. You know, we can count, if we can count that many. So then, a lot of them imbalance means, you know, like, so what do you mean imbalance? Imbalance means, you know, not concentrating. That's how thought become imbalanced. So the way to balance, you just think about something, you know, like placing all your attention very closely on something physical, or placing all your attention very closely on thought, you know, something physical, or on the feelings, or something else. That's the way to balance. Okay, balance means thought become more flexible than uptight with something. So that's how the energy been wasted. You know, there is energy, but it's become imbalanced. It's been wasted because not able to concentrate. You know, thinking something here. You know, you are very smart or whatever you call it, but you are thinking all kind of things. It's much better to think something really and then penetrate. You know? Okay. So this is the way to eliminate. Now this nine round breathing meditation is eliminate those waste energy. Am I making any sense? Yeah. So this sake of knowledge, you can please share, you know, you can share with. So then I'm very much hoping this meditation will help you to reduce stress. So now the question is, how do you define stress? What is stress? It is physical or is it like non-physical? What is it? It is like energy or what is it? What is it? If it's energy, is it positive or is it balance or imbalance? Or is it positive or negative? Is it negative energy? So I think this meditation must help. So I will all help you. You try that meditation at your home. So then see if that helps. So then the second round of meditations that we are going to do is 21 breathing meditations. So probably we will count. Say we will count 51. See, we will count 51 instead of 21. We will count 51. So this is like. So then, if you are having, you know, difficulties, this is the one technique that I learned. One of the rhythm temples in Germany. So they said you can use like, word, out, in. So each time when you inhale, there's one. Out, in, there's two. Out. In the three. Each time when you inhale, you count, okay? We'll count 51 or 50 or 51, doesn't matter, we'll count that. So, so this is called 21 breathing meditations. If you wonder where you can find that meditation, who taught? It taught by one of the Indian masters called Vasubandhu. And text called Treasury in English. In Sanskrit it's called Abhidharma Kosha. So the chapter number 8, you can find that meditation. There's like many, many meditations been listed. Somebody who's having trouble with, Namtok usually means, you know, like, there is no one translation in English word. There's not English one word in English that explains Namtok, but in Tibetan it's called Namtok. Sometimes it sounds like being very self-conscious. Sometimes it sounds like that. Sometimes it sounds like, you know, like mind-making stories, self-talk. But this is a big word, Namdo. So this meditation, 21 breathing meditation, is particularly designed to help somebody who has a lot of Namdo. Or maybe, you know, sometimes there's no one word, unfortunately, there's no one word in English. Sometimes it sounds like, if you really think about this word, sometimes it sounds like, it's like self-conscious. Just, you know, sometimes it sounds like the self-making stories. But that word covers all of that, okay? Namdo Nyembo. So then if somebody has somebody out there who's having a lot of problems with attachment, so there's this another meditation. There's a lot of meditation been listed in that chapter number 8. So I think in Buddhism it's important to that's why when they write a book they quote, you know, make sure that you know they don't just make it up, making it up. It's already been taught, they're just repeating them. Then if you go back to look at the text, you find exactly the same word. So then that probably also is quoting something. Then eventually it all leads to all the way to Buddha. So that's like, you know, introducing, there's origins rather than, you know, last night thinking about, oh, what I should say at the Kadamasana tomorrow. Maybe I should make up something. It's not like that. Huh? Then from your side, at least something to feel good about, that you introduce something that's been taught many, many, many years ago, so then something to, you know, feel good about, okay? Namdo Nyembo, Namdo. So if somebody is, you know, living with chain of Namdo, so there will be no happiness. Oh, even though you are sleeping on queen-size bed or king-size bed, or maybe in the water bed, there will be no happiness. Namdo Luj, you know. So in this case, what we do, put our hand like this. So simply, we watch our breath, you know, in and out. Out, it begins with out. It begins with exhale. 9 round breathing meditation begin with inhale. This 21 breathing meditation begin with exhale. You exhale, inhale, that's 1. Exhale, inhale, that's 2. Okay, we'll do 50 times. Okay? Thank you. The number doesn't matter, you can count, you know, 21, 30, 40, 50, you know, please, no, as a meditation called gom, in Tibetan gom, means com, means, you know, making familiar, you know? So that clearly shows that we should do meditation, otherwise we can make familiar. So now trying to making familiar with this. Then eventually, you know, the breathing has to be very, very natural. Natural. In the beginning, right now, we are just practicing. You can probably forcefully exhale, inhale, but eventually it has to be natural. So believe or not, we breathing in and out has a 21,000 times a day, we breathe in and out, according to teachings. So I never count, so I can prove it's wrong. But I thought about going to count, but you know, I never count. So you are welcome to count. So 21,000 times we breathe in and out. And out of that, how many we are aware? It's 21,000 times a day we breathe in and out. Then eventually it has to be very natural. So then if some of you are interested. So that's called practice called Tonglen. Tonglen is like some of power you are know. Tong means sand. Sand. Out of loving kindness you sand. So that means when you exhale, you just imagine I'm sending something good. So you say, you know, when you hear somebody, you know, some tragic news, then you write people, you tell people, oh, my thoughts are with you. So that's sending. Actually, that's, you know, part of the Tonglen practice. That what you're saying is part of Tonglen practice, that you are saying to that person that I'm sending my positive thought. You know, in Buddhism, how you do that out of loving kindness. Okay, chamba. Chamba means loving kindness. So you sense something positive. in that case, you know, this is all done in the mind. You could send body, longevity, possession, and the positive energy or merit. You could call merit means, you know, something you do, something good. That's called merit. Merit. So probably most of you all been in like Boy Scout or Girl Scout, Boy Scout. So we used to have the Kadambas a long time ago. So they have like badge called merit. So what that means? Merit, what it means? Merit, what's the definition of word? What's the definition of word? Yeah. Good action? Yeah, so merit, you know, so in Tibetan word with gewa. Gewa means some form of energy that produce something good. That's called gewa, you know. So anyway, out of, you know, loving kindness, body, longevity, possessions, then, you know, like the actions that been done past, is doing now, is going to do in the future, you just dedicate them. So that's called tong, means sand. So when you exhale, you can just also visualize that. You know, then that become like a little bit extra. Len means take. Taking part is done out of compassion. You feel sorry, you know, so that once in a while, you know, we sincerely wish that you could take on. You could take on. particularly if your mother, you know, when you see your child sick. So you sincerely, genuinely, you wish that could be you, then your child. That's, and from Buddhist point of view, there's like taking practice, partially, it's like tolerant practice, out of, you know, compassion. So then usually it's done with, you know, other sentient beings, you know, like all other sentient beings, you know, miserable conditions, you voluntarily, deliberately, you take on out of compassion. Not out of fear, worries, but out of compassion. So that's the strength. That's the strength that you develop. You know, you'll never ever feel depressed because that's strength. Compassion is the strength. So then if you're having difficulties, you know, doing that, taking part with other sentient beings, if you overwhelm, what you can do, you can start with your own self, yourself. Or difficulty that I'm going to face maybe tomorrow, then you just take that, just imagine taking it now, then feel how you feel, you know. Less stress, more stress, you know, no stress, something like that. Okay, out of compassion. So it's not on you, but it's on the, you know, what we call self-cherishing mind. Self-cherishing mind. Or if you're having difficulty understanding what the self-cherishing mind is, that's the attitude, you know. It's like my way or highway or no way. It has to, the prayer has to sit here. That's my idea. That's my way. If it's sitting here, then I lose my happiness. It has to be on the right side, not on the left side. In reality, it really doesn't matter. But you just make a big deal out of that, you know, so it has to be sit here. So then, you know, like that, you know, okay, so that, yeah, the best way to express the attitude, my way, highway. So then you pile up all this, you know, that attitude needs to go sooner or later. Otherwise, this attitude is called chronic disease. No? Chronic disease, huh? So, one time I'm teaching the Lojong, this mindfulness text. So, with the Robert Thurman in upstate New York. So then he teaches 40 minutes, then I teach 40 minutes, we just alternate. So then I'm talking about that, you know, this, the altitude. I'm saying chronic disease. So my English is not good, so then he keeps hearing, and his eyes already look kind of like scared a little bit because he's a big eye. So he keeps looking at me saying, Gila, what is this? And then he keeps hearing, I'm saying, calling Jesus, calling Jesus. He totally got confused, you know, so I'm saying chronic disease, you know, he's keep hearing calling Jesus. So that become good medicine for all the, everybody laugh. So the attitude, self-cherishing mind is called chronic disease. Rani chebazumi chone, you know, if you investigate thoroughly throughout the day, you see, you know, why it's called chronic disease, no? Rani chebazubi chone de, mide duma chebe jutoni, so. Source of all the sufferings, because of this, you know, like, chronic disease, you know, it's never been healed, called attitude, you know, this attitude. So you then, when you take out of compassion, you pile on that, not on yourself, but pile on that. That needs to go sooner or later. As long as we remain the slave of that attitude, there will be no really happiness. So slowly, no, we should try. Oh, that's what we can do. We should try. Oh, to recognize and try, you know, then see, you know, so there's something we can do. So this, all the problems, you know, that we are having within the mind has to solve through thinking. We can't just solve simply just, you know, through this will. It's not going to change the mind. To change the mind, we have to learn, you know, how to change. It's good. This is good practice to do. Good, you know, good thing, mantra is good, you know, things to say. But just saying prayer or mantra, tuning the will, is not going to change. It requires some kind of, you know, exercise. Yoga means practice, some kind of, you know, it requires some kind of, we have to think, okay? Mm? So now the second, like, why is so important to learn how to concentrate? So that question leads back to the six professions, practice of six professions. Last two professions. Number five is called concentrations, professional concentrations, then the profession of wisdoms. Someday, jishis, someday. Concentrations makes your mind calm, peaceful. That's it. That's all. So someday, lo you told, wisdom liberates. Wisdom liberates. From problems. Sometimes we call sufferings, sometimes we call problems. Either way, only way you can liberate is like through wisdom, you know. Someday, jishi, concentrations makes your mind calm and peaceful. Lo yi tol means, you know, wisdom liberates. That's why we learn. having problem figuring out something, if you just sit there, just pray, I don't think that's going to solve the problems. We have to learn or maybe read instructions, but unfortunately, not many people read instructions. Wisdom difference. Okay, so that's why you concentrate Sunday teachings. When you concentrate, then slowly, slowly, your mind becomes calm and peaceful. What you are thinking is just prayer will. That's all you're thinking. Nothing else. That's all you're thinking. So, when you put all the pieces together, it makes sense, you know, that's all, you know, to help you, to help your mind. Yiji Langbo. So, when you go outside, there's part one painting there, elephant, the monks. The monks, that's like symbolized stages, monks, that, you know. But they just draw monk, doesn't have to be monk, you know. So, don't think that, oh, in order to do that, come up by the meditation, I need to become monk. That's not true. They just paint the monk, but it doesn't have to be monk. So that monk symbolizes stages. Elephant symbolizes mind. So, Yiji Langbo Dovala. So this is the brief explanation about concentration meditations. Yiji Langbo, mind like elephant. It's on the move. Yiji Langbo Dovala. Mikbe Kawa Tembo Las. Mikba is object, firm object means, you know, prayer, I don't like prayer, maybe this house, this one, oh, I don't like this one, I love it. It's not like that, you know, you just choose one object, could be color, tree, anything, you know, anything. Mikba kawa tembola. Tembe takba is like mindfulness, like rope. Job is to tie that elephant with that object, whatever it is. Whether your breath, your physical movement, or walking meditations, or going through feeling, whatever it is, your job is to tie that elephant, mind like elephant, with the rope like mindfulness, tie that elephant with that firm object. Share up charge remote chance. Then eventually, you know, you will conquer. You will conquer elephant with the tools like wisdoms. Analyze. Thinking or getting too high or too low, just in the balance. So, okay, so this is all about meditations. Finish. So then I will read something here. So, did you hear from Ravina? Venerable Ravina, if you are here, most of you are here. Yeah. So, I think, what she told? She told like Buddha's way up, something. What is it? Happy. This one, what topic she talk?
Talked about attachment, Yeshua,
any particular title. So anyway, so it doesn't matter. As long as you remember, that's good. So so anyway. Fa is the divine being, Fa. No, Deva, happiness of divine being and happiness of human being. Oh, there is such a thing called, you know, happiness of divine being and happiness of human being. Fata me, Deva. The best happiness of divine being, the best happiness of human beings. So you see this word, you know, in the prayers, particularly in the para, you know, here. Para prayer, the certain para prayers, you know, you see that. You know, then you wonder, you know, what is best divine happiness? What is best divine human happiness? Human happiness, best divine happiness. But the divine happiness, you know, that's not, so we are human. So we need to talk about human happiness. So there's happiness that's related to the mind, the happiness that's related to the physical body. So whatever you call, you know, physical body pretty much, you know, sensory pleasure. So we know, so it's kind of tricky, you know, how you define physical happiness. Maybe good health, or maybe good food, or good music, or good clothes. It's kind of complicated. So even it's quite a little bit complicated too. So now mental happiness. So 650 years ago, today, almost 650 years ago, Lama Tsongkhapa, about Tibetan master, you know, was giving Lamrim teachings in Tibet. He's, you know, same the region of, you know, he was born in Amdo, the same place where His Holiness Dalai Lama was born. Same place, you know. So Lama Tsongkhapa has big nose, quite big nose. His nickname is Big Nose, Amdo. No? Big Nose Amdo, something like that. Lama Tsongkhapa, he was born in the place where there grow a lot of onions. Onion, his name after, you know, the place where they grow a lot of onions. Tsong means onion in Tibetan, Tsongkhapa. Huh? Anyway, what, you know, Lama Tsongkhapa said, you know, to us 650 years ago, almost 650 years ago, Tawe Ten De Yishin No De La, Tawe Ten, the very life that we have, what we call human life, and it's very, very important, you know, Tawe Ten, it's called Tawe Ten, Tawe Ten De Yishin No De La. So this life is, Lama Tsongkhapa said, this life is far more precious than precious jewel, if you have one of them, according to the stories, you know, you just wish something, it will just appear. That's called precious jewel, Ishinorbu. Sometimes Tibetan people call His Holiness Ishinorbu, called precious jewel, you know, so that means, or sometimes they call wish fulfilling jewels. Anyway, that's jewel. Tawe Ten De Ishinor De La. I think this is a very, very important message for all of us. We think, you know, right? We think all the time. Why not think something good? You know, if you think something negative, it's not good. No good for your health. It's not good for your life. It's not good for your friend. It's not good for anybody. You know. So we think anyway. So you know, it's not like I have to learn how to think. It's not like that. You know, we think all the time. So think something positive. So you have here saying in English, rise and shine. Right? It doesn't say rise and drop. Drop? How is it? Rise and drop? You don't say that, but no. So we should rise and we should shine. So that's kind of like rise and shine. That's the first English word that I learned 15 years ago now since I came here in Indiana. So Dr. Brown, one of our members, Stephanie, she taught me this word. Gila, next morning when you wake up, you tell Dr. Brown, tell this, rise and shine. I have no clue what it means. I just So now, private and so this is now serious. Private and eternal love. The mental happiness needs to be produced through thinking. Through thinking, it's simple to say, but it's not that simple to produce. No mere prayer is not going to not going to have much impact. So we need to think. Private and eternal love. This life is far more precious than precious jewel, Lama Tsongkhapa said. Tavet in the Ishinola, Tindanya Batharinsamshin, Lama Tsongkhapa said, miracle, it happens. It happens today, it happens. Tavet in the Ishinola, Tindanya Batharinsamshin, Nyeka, so difficult to find. Jikla, easy to lose. Like, it's like lightning, that means thinking about change, thinking about impermanent, you know. It won't be there forever, you know. Tsuldisa means thinking like that. Need to understand everything that's happening here. My life, my happiness, my suffering, center, my friend, my family, the country, the weather, everything's evolve. Change, you know. Change. Means need to learn the lessons, huh? Tavet in the Ishinola, Tananya Batanism, Niagara, Namula, Sulja Sunday, Jide Chavakun, everything that's happening within our world. Not just one thing, everything that's happening in our world is evolving, you know, constantly changing. So that we need to understand, Lama Tsongkhapa said, we need to understand that, you know. Based on this thought, we need to understand that constantly changing. You know? So, you can't just say, okay, I'm not going to change it. That's against reality. Everything is changing. You know? So, at the same time, you are also changing too. This means, you know, you don't see here, but in India and Nepal, you see when people grow rice, you know, there's a lot of process, you know, to get rice into the supermarket. There's a lot of work needs to be done. So there's no machines, all done by hand. So they cut the rice, they dry them, you know, then they separate the rice from the, what do you call? Yeah, the rice grows in the stalk. Yeah, stalk is first green, then become yellow, then you have to cut them, then you know, separate them, so then there's not still, you know, the rice is come with the shell. You can eat like that. It is come, you know, this rice is hidden within the shell, so you have to break the shell. So then a lot of process. Then in the end, in the last part, what you do, you just put into like the one kind of pot on the depth. Typically, they're made out of bamboo, big kind of round things. So you go like that. You can just also, you know, pour down. The wind blows, then wind separates. Rice drops, then all the shells. The Lama Tsongkhapa says, it is like this. Everything is like, when you pour the rice down, everything drops. Everything else is like blowing. So you have no idea where it blows. It blows some there, here. So everything that's evolving like that, you know. Mumbai Chawashi, the to understand everything like that, you know, it's not going to be the same place, you know. First you plant, you grow green, then yellow, then cut, then, you know, it's all changing like that. Mumbai Chawashi, the Tokchun, in the end, you know, so then that's what you should think, you know, day and night. Lama Tsongkhapa said, I did exactly like that, and I'm hoping that everybody else, you know, you also do the same thing. So, am I making sense? It's clear? Yeah. So, now, looking at that piece of information that's given by Lama Tsongkhapa, what Lama Tsongkhapa was saying is, becoming happier human being. A happier human being. That began, the process began with thinking something precious about yourself. If you are thinking, what are you thinking now about yourself? If you are thinking something negative, that's not the right direction to become happier human beings. This initial stage is wrong. So it's very, very important, including myself. So when we wake up, it's very important to remember the Lama Tsongkhapa message that life far more precious than precious, far more precious than precious jewel. Your life, that you are thinking something negative, that's not good. So that's how the process of happier life in Buddhism began with thinking something precious of yourself. Am I making sense? Yeah. I'm not trying to just tell you this to make you happy. That Lama Tsongkhapa said, if you want to read, you can read Lam Rim. It's been taught now 650 years ago. You'll find there. Lama Tsongkhapa wrote the Lam Rim. I didn't write the Lam Rim. I did not write Lam Rim. Lama Tsongkhapa wrote that. So, every morning, so minute we wake up, so we should put some effort to think something like that. We are thinking anyway, so why not think something positive? Why you think good? As I said, when you summarize Buddhism, it's all about thinking positive. You think positive, you think good, you feel good, more like you do something good. That's all. That's easy, you know, that's how you summarize Buddhism. Then you can say, rise and shine. I think that's a good way to rise and shine. Yeah. So then you really respect everywhere you look. Every life is precious. It's not based on culture, or not based on race. It's not based on traditions. It's not based on belief. Every single life is precious, whether you are American, Tibetan, Asian, doesn't matter, you know. Every life is precious. Every life is precious, you know. So, then, you know, Mother Teresa, you know, does the same thing. Mother Teresa does the same thing. The life that you see in Calcutta, there's a big Indian city, the life that she sees, for us, it's kind of disgusting. Just laying down the street, you know, in the alley, what do you call alley? Filthy, smelly. For her, that's a precious gift that she found. She sees, you know, but we don't see. What she gained is like tremendous. She gained. What you can hope for that person, what you can hope from that person, nothing. That person has no power, no money, no education, you know, you are just giving them. So what you are getting is, you know, so anyway, Thakpa Ramjam, just pure, just to see, just precious. So, as I mentioned earlier, you know, meditation, this is a type of meditation, you know, thinking is meditation. That's called analytical meditations. That's how you educate yourself from now on. That's how you're going to think about yourself, something precious, rather than worthless, useless, meaningless, all this, you know, negative labels that you put on yourself. It's not true. It's not, you should not push, you know, you should not, that's like completely wasting your precious human life. That's how we waste, you know, so putting all the negative labels on yourself, that's not good, you know, so we must put something positive, you know? So then I would like to read, you know, something from the, I've been studying, so mothers, you know, I've been reading Mother Teresa books. It greatly inspired, so I've been reading a lot of her quotations, quote, been reading, you know, thinking. Okay, now only 3 minutes left, so we know only too well, so that's what mother says, I think. Every word here is, you know, carrying some deep meaning. So We only know too well that what we are doing is nothing more than a drop in the oceans. Sometimes, you know, I totally understand, you know, people say, oh, meditation on compassion, and in then people, they think, oh, I'm not doing anything. There's so much suffering out there. I'm just meditating on compassion. I'm not doing anything. What you are doing is the drop in the oceans. Oh, you may not see it's making much difference, but, you know, it is making some difference, you know. But taking out one drop out of oceans, you don't see the oceans like kind of like size of the oceans kind of like shrink, minimizing. But you don't see that. But actually, it is one drop is less. When you add one drop, this is more. We only know too well that what we are doing is nothing more than a drop in the oceans. But if the drop were not there, the ocean would be missing something. Oh? So that's how I look at, you know. So, doing my daily prayers, you know, saying some mantra, doing some meditations. So, then, you know, it's like that this quote helps me, it's kind of reminding me that, you know, that I'm doing something, you know, I should not feel like I'm doing nothing. I should feel like just like the drop in the oceans. One more quote. Couple more here. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Peace begins with smiles. Every time you smile at someone, it is an action of love, a gift of that person, a beautiful thing. So then last, and I'll stop, okay? If you can feed 100 people, feed just one. So if you can love 100 people, we can love one person. So instead of judging that person, you know, in my case, Gishan was outside there. So that's, you know, my roommate, Gishan, you know. So so if I can begin, you know, something good with Gishan, so then there's hope. There's hope. Rather than being very critical, judgmental, everything he does, from cleaning to putting things here, there, my happiness could easily destroy it, easily judging him. Yeah, I have certain ideas where things should go, you know, where, you know, the broom? I have certain idea where the broom should go. Does it really matter? I never thought about that. It doesn't really matter. So, but, you know, I just created some ideas. I'm just not being flexible. I'm so uptight with that. A broom has to go there. It doesn't matter. So he says, Gishamba says, oh, as long as he's in the house, who cares? Probably, you know, so sometimes it's true. You know, as long as he's in the house. So then, you know, so many, you know, you created something, then you tied with that. If something happens, some kind of shift happened, and your happiness is gone. Because simply, the broom is not in the place that where you put. No, there's like that. There's so many, there's thousand different ways we lose our mental happiness. When you really look closely, it's not that big deal. But we are not able to let it go. You know, simply, we don't understand change. So that's why, you know, so... So anyway, so that's all I want to say. Okay, yeah. Stop now. Oh, then I will say a couple of mantras. It will take only 2 minutes, you know. Some of them is for your good health. Some of them is, you know, to prevent untimely death, you know. So there are people, they ask me, you know, so their kids having problems with, you know, suicidal thoughts. What advice, you know? So then I've been reading some books and I learned a couple of mantras. And I just, with my hope and my faith in the mantra, I said that. In the book it says, whoever hears, you know, it will prevent from untimely death. And some of the mantras, you know, for good health, or then, God, this couple of times, I will say, oh, this is for you, okay? Take only 2 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Delicious.